glad to come back. I think the first time I was here was 16 years ago. And I came in, actually Christine and I and our kids that were four at the time. We have twins, a boy and a girl, Evan and Emma. And we came in on a Wednesday night, and I think it snowed about a foot of snow that night. And somehow we made it about halfway down and ended up, I think, stopping in Crivitz because we didn't make it to Green Bay. But have just experienced such support and prayer and giving over the years from your church. And we're here today almost like a shareholders meeting, right? You have been investing in ministry in places around the world, believing that investment is making a difference and believing that it is impacting the world with the kingdom of God. And your giving and your prayers have made all the difference. Just recently, we were in a church, and an older gentleman came up to me. He had one of our old prayer cards just from years and years ago in his hand. He was probably about 80 years old, and he came up to me, and he said, "Young man, I want you to know that every day for the last 10 years, I've been praying for you." And we talked for a few minutes, and we shared about what God was doing, and I told him how impactful he's been in his prayers. And he said, "But I have a problem." He said, "I've been mispronouncing your name to God for 10 years. And after a short debate, we determined that God probably understood who we were and probably figured it all out. But your prayers, your giving, it means so much to us. We left for Ukraine some 15 years ago with twin four-year-olds, and God has been faithful to kind of walk with us through the years. And today I want to read a few passages, and we'll tell a few stories as we go through Scripture together. But before we do, I just want to just put a seed in your brain about what the Word of God is going to tell us. And that is that you are really important to God. I think sometimes in the midst of the flood of humanity that's out there, we just kind of feel small, maybe even insignificant. 7.6 billion people on the planet today. And yet God knows who each and every one of us are, and in all of that, God has very important plans for our lives as we fit into His plan for us. Now, I don't know exactly all of our plans. I'm 47 years old, and occasionally I'll turn to my wife and say, "Hey, what are we going to be when we grow up?" You know, we feel like, I guess at some point we realize we've grown up, but there's still that sense that God has more for our plans. And the beautiful thing is that in each of us, God has very unique plans for us as He uses our gifts where we are, as we all work together to accomplish His plans. But what we do know, what we have come to realize in the Bible about God's plans are just a few things. First of all, God is intentionally working to draw all the peoples of the world into a new and eternal life in Him. That's part of God's plan, and so therefore it's part of our plan to participate in that. Also, God's methodology is to accomplish His purpose through His people. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came in this morning? He kind of slipped in the back and at the end of the service kind of walks up and just greets us all, and we can sit and ask Him whatever questions we want. We'd be here all day tomorrow. Right now we know that He's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. And so what He's done is He's sent us to be Him to the world. We are His methodology. We are Jesus to the world. Also, we see that we have each an essential part in God's plan. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Every one of us knit together are essential. I often think about the gears or the sprockets of a watch, those small little pieces with the teeth that fit together, how each of them working together, work together to accomplish the purpose of that watch, and how we are very, very similar as we all work together in our gifts, in our abilities, in being obedient to what God is doing in our lives. We work together to accomplish God's purposes. We work together to see Him move in these beautiful ways. Today I'm going to read from a passage from Acts 16, and it's this story of missions. It's a story of Paul and his early companions going out into the world. It says in chapter 16, verse 6 of Acts, "Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. I have no idea what that means. Usually you don't hear that from a preacher, do you? He was kept by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that was a feeling that he had. I don't know if that was some opposition that came in the way. But somewhere along the way, as he's heading east, there is this sense we're not supposed to go in that direction. And we sense that it's from the Holy Spirit. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. There it is again. So they sense the Holy Spirit. They're moving in one direction. That's not right for us. They pivot and they turn and they're heading in another direction. The Spirit says, nope, not there as well. They're kind of coming to a place where we realize the Spirit is leading them and how they live their lives and what they're supposed to do. And what's really encouraging for me is Paul's trying to figure it out. How many of you have been trying to figure out God's will for your life at times, right? I mean, it's kind of this sense of, I'm really encouraged that Paul was kind of doing the same stuff, right? So they passed by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and during the night, Paul had this vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So he's headed east to Asia. Nope. Turned to Bithynia. Nope. He has this sense in the night, this vision of this man saying, come on west. So they pivot the whole group and they head west because the Holy Spirit was guiding their life. We see in John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That's the Spirit, kind of our guide in our lives, helping us make decisions, helping us understand how we fit in to his plans. As you heard from Pastor Young, we grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I grew up in the church that Pastor Young pastored. I have all kinds of great stories for you if you're looking for them. We had a great time in my childhood in that church. But my wife and I, we met at youth group, which I'm a big fan of church youth groups, right? It's the best place to find a spouse, by the way. Best place. I found mine there. My wife had not grown up in the church. In fact, she'd never really been to our church before or a church. And there was a family who moved, being led by the Holy Spirit, from Illinois to Green Bay. They were in pharmaceuticals. Their name was Alex and Barb Camp. I don't know if you remember them, Pastor. They had a daughter named Heidi. Only a single child. And they moved up to Green Bay, moved to the east side of Green Bay. They started attending Central Church in Green Bay and started going to the same school that my wife goes to in eighth grade. They were in the same homeroom in that first week. Christine was kind of told by the teacher, I want you to show Heidi around school, show the lockers and where you're supposed to go and the kids and everything. And Heidi, that first day that they met, turns to Christine and said, hey, I go to this great church youth group. Do you want to come with me? And my wife even says today, I have no idea why I said yes. I said yes, and she went. I remember that first Wednesday she came. And shortly after that, she accepted Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. Did you ever think of all these decisions that would have to come in place from the camps moving up, moving on the east side, choosing that church of all the churches, of all those things that would come together, that God would fit together so that my wife would come to know Jesus Christ? How God puts all these pieces together as we're led by the Holy Spirit. Pastor told you already that we were led to Ukraine. We have an old picture of the family. You can go back one. When our kids were 4 years old, that's what they looked like when they left. They don't look like that anymore. We dropped Evan off at North Central University just a few weeks ago, and my daughter's at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And shortly after arriving in Ukraine, we moved to the capital city of Kyiv, where there was a small church, about 18 people that were struggling. And we accepted the role for just a short amount of time to pastor International Christian Assembly in 2016. There was a small group. We were meeting in a garage. And God just allowed us to come together and be a community. And God has so encouraged us over the years. Now, 15 years of pastoring ICA Kiev, International Christian Assembly. Shortly after arriving there in 2008, we were able to start something called Teen Challenge Ukraine. How many of you are familiar with what Teen Challenge is? A few of you? Yeah. Teen Challenge is a ministry that serves individuals with life-controlling addictions. And we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary after launching it out of ICA Kiev. And today we have Teen Challenge in 30 locations around Ukraine. And it is doing so well. And one of the greatest joys of a missionary is I'm not even on the board anymore. It is completely national-led and doing wonderful. Today, ICA Kiev, the church that we pastor, Pastor Young has preached in several times. We serve somewhere between 30 to 40 different nationalities every week. We have services in English with Russian, an Arabic congregation in the afternoon. And right now, we meet in a billiards hall. So every day when I preach on a Sunday, I hear the balls cracking behind me, right? So on the other side of the wall, it's really distracting for most people, but it's kind of like my happy spot now, to tell you the truth. I miss it on a Sunday. I really do. Because of your support, we really want to stay connected with you. On the back table, we have these connection cards. If you want to fill one out, you can get a regular update from us. And even if you have some more interest in missions, that's a chance for you to connect a little bit more with what's happening. Let's go on about how God initiates these intersections of opportunity for his plan to be accomplished. In Acts 16 again. From Troas, we put out to sea and we sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi. That might be a familiar word to some of you. In the New Testament, there's this book to the people in Philippians, right, in Philippi, and there's a church there that Paul writes a letter to. And we know that it's a Roman colony, a very secular city, kind of a crossroads to the west, a leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there for several days, Paul says. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. So she's most likely wealthy. She was a worshiper of God. So she had a sense of maybe Old Testament law, Old Testament things, but she didn't know of Jesus. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. What's so significant of the story? Think about this. Paul and his group, they're heading east. No, don't go to Asia. Don't go to Bithynia. Vision comes. They pivot west, and they find Lydia at the side of the river. Lydia is the first convert of Europe. She is the establishment of the church in the region in Philippi. And God goes on, we don't know anything else about Lydia, but to establish the church there. God saw Lydia by the river while they're heading in the other direction. And he turns their lives for her. He saw her there. You see, so often when it comes to being obedient to the Holy Spirit and being guided by the Holy Spirit, we think it is about our lives, about how our lives are going to be better and how our lives are going to change. But so often, it's about someone else's life. It's our obedience and how it affects someone else's life. Many of you have heard of Ukraine in the news lately. Anytime Ukraine is in the news, it's not good news. We seldom have good news, and no, I did not see the Bidens in Ukraine when I was there. Doesn't mean they weren't there, I just didn't see them. But about 5 years ago, we went through a revolution, a transition in government, war broke out, the Maidan revolution, the Euro revolution happened downtown. And in response to that, we felt like God had this opportunity, even in conflict, for us to be planting churches. You see, because really what missions is all about is about creating access where there is no access to the gospel. That's the job of missionaries. Did you know that Coca-Cola had a vision in the 80s, and it was this? To have an ice-cold Coca-Cola within walking distance of every person in the world. And all but about three countries in the world, they've been able to accomplish it. If Coke can do it, why not the church? Right? Why not create that kind of access point for everybody in the world? And so in response to that, we began training young men and women to be pastors out of the International Church. Our ICA pastoral training group is there. A couple of these guys are actually Americans. Way up at top is Maxime. Maxime was saved 9 years ago as a result of Teen Challenge. He walked in off of the street, a methadone user. Pastor Rafi's over there with the gray hair. Pastor Dennis and Anna, they got married. And shortly after starting our pastoral training, developing young church planters, we were able to plant a church in the village of Svetlodarsk. We've got a picture of some of our guys there. And they are right on the front lines of the conflict zone. Pastor Andre on the far left came out of our college group called Chi Alpha. And out of that college group, he felt like he was called to be a pastor. So we planted him in right next to the conflict zone in Svetlodarsk. They go to bed every night hearing bombs fall. But shortly after launching, they are now 60 people. They've planted in the village next to them, 40 people in that village church as well, people who have never been in a church before. It was a year and a half ago that we felt an opportunity was given to us to plant a church in the village of Kalinsi. Now, Kalinsi is about an hour and a half north of Kyiv. Ukraine is about the size and shape of Texas, right? And so we live in the north. You kind of can think of it as like Dallas, Texas, right, in the capital city, about 6.5 million people. There's a war happening in Houston, by the way, if you think of it that way, how close that war is. Still about 10 to 20 people die every single week as a result of that war. But just about an hour and a half north of us in an area very close to something called Chernobyl. How many of you are familiar with Chernobyl? There is a region where we just consider it a black hole of churches. There's really no access to the gospel there. In fact, a village that was made available to us where there's a building we could use, there's no church within a 20-village radius, the village of Kalinsi. And so we felt led to plant a church there. And so a year and a half ago, we put together bags for Christmas time to distribute to every single house, 300 houses in the village. Village life, it's sand streets. Most of the houses have sand floors. They survive the cold winters with these large cement fireplaces that they sleep on top of, right? It's an old village life. And so we put together these bags, and in those bags we put together candy and food, an adult Bible, children's Bibles that were given to us as a result of BGMC, just kids that would give every single month so that we could have children's Bibles. And those Bibles went out in Ukrainian language. And then we also put together just a few other gifts, handed them out to everybody in the village, and invited them to like a sing-along for Christmas time, and 50 people showed up. We were so impressed, right? They've never been to a church before, never saw a church in their community. 50 people showed up. They had a sing-along. And my guys, Maxime and Dennis, who are co-pastoring it right now, they said to me, "Pastor, we think we should launch the church next Sunday." And I said, "That's not how you plant a church. Right, hand out a couple bags and start a service, right? No, you do pre-launch and do alpha course and you talk about it and do all the evaluations, and then small groups are launched." And they're like, "No, Pastor, we just felt led by the Spirit, we need to do it." So sure enough, we printed out a bunch of welcome tickets to hand out to all the village. And the first Sunday in the evening, 50 people showed up. We were surprised. And the second Sunday, 50 people were still there, which is the more exciting part, right? And since then, now 3 people have been water baptized. 2 have gone to faith-based rehab. God is just doing great thing in the group. But today, I just want to, in the next few minutes, just tell you the story of one person from the village. Her name is Martha. Martha's the last picture there. Martha has spent her entire life in the village of Kalinsi. She is 95 years old at the taking of this picture. And if any of you know anything about the history of Ukraine, that's a tough 95 years, right? So she remembers having lived through the forced starvations of Stalin, where 2.5 million people were starved to death by their government. She remembers her and her brother sitting in the fields eating hay to survive. Shortly after that, Nazi Germany comes through, wipes out the village. She recalls as a child hiding in the woods and watching her brother being shot in the head and killed. She's outlived three husbands at 95 years old, never had any children, and at the taking of this picture, 10 years blind, completely blind. To the village, she is known as the village witch. She's angry, she's bitter, and she lets everybody know it. Anybody who comes near her home, she screams at, she yells at. Her neighbor took care of her for years with getting her firewood for the winter and food and things like that. Her neighbor died about 2 years ago. So the church up in Cullen Sea that we planted picked up the mantle, right? So they dropped off food. We paid for firewood. It's about $250 to $300 a winter for firewood for the year. So we just would just keep her full of firewood. But she was still angry. Two of the girls that are on the worship team now at Source of Hope Church kind of picked up that idea that they'd take care of Martha, even though she was mean. Mean. It was May the 6th that Pastor Maxime and the two girls stopped by to just visit with Martha. And she would often reject them, push them away. And for whatever reason, that Sunday before service starts on Sunday evening, they have the service with us in the morning, and then they drive up using Speed the Light vehicle paid for by teenagers to go up and do the church plant up in the north. And they went up there, and they just stopped to visit Martha. And for whatever reason, on May the 6th, her disposition was different. And she invited them in. And they had a cup of tea and some small cookies, which is very typical of Ukraine. And Pastor Maxime shared with her for the very first time, she'd never heard it before, that God loves her. That God loves her so much that he sent his son. And that all she needs to do is just embrace what Jesus did for her and her love, his love for her. And that day they knelt next to the bed and she repented and accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. At 95 years old, oh, how patient God is with us, right? 95 years old. I mean, we were so excited. Pastor Maxime and Dennis come back. They were just like, they're lit up, right? Everybody knows Martha up there. We've been praying for her for such a long time. And so excited about what God is doing. And really, that season's been really cool. This last May then, about 2 weeks later, we had our water baptism. We as a church bring in our church plants into the capital city. We have a big picnic, like 400 people come. And we, you know, volleyball. And in the Dnieper River, we have our baptisms. And two ladies from Source of Hope were getting baptized. We saw a picture of one of them just a minute ago. So Pastor Maxime drives up there to pick up the lady, stops by to visit Martha, and knocks on her door, opens the door, and she's laying on the bed. And her eyes are open. The one window in her village hut has the sun shining on her face, and she's passed away. Just less than 2 weeks after accepting Christ. Maxime wrapped her in a blanket and closed her eyes and contacted the next village over to come and pick her up and drove down to the picnic, met with me and said, told me what happened, and we all had some tears and said, Pastor, I've never done a funeral before. What do I do with a funeral? We sat down and we talked it through And I often think about that process, that everything has been happening up there in Cullitzy, and we're really excited about the 50 people that are a regular part of that. There's a women's ministry and a youth group there now, and kids' ministry on Wednesday nights. I told the guys, this is why we plant churches. She never had access, and she never would. She never left her home. But that somebody would come, somebody would go there, and plant a church and be a part of the community and love her. And how God saw her. I often think about all the little decisions along the way that would somehow come to a place where God saw Martha. How Maxime that day would just stop by, even though he's been rejected so many times, would just stop by. Just the fact that those girls would go up there, they played such a big part, right? And took care of her for well over a year. How they had such an important part. I think about the BGMC Bibles that went out for the church plant and the Speed the Light vehicle that helps the guys get up there and how they each had a part in Martha's life. I think about our pastoral training. I think about Teen Challenge that led Maxime to the Lord. And all the people who had invested in that ministry have invested in him over the years and how they played such a part. I think back to the churches that support us. And that guy who's been praying for us for 10 years. And how each of you have played a part. And I think back to Heidi, who had the courage simply to be led by the Spirit to invite my wife to church. Now you think that all those pieces, that's a little bit of a stretch, Paul, like putting all the way back 30 years to Heidi. I don't think so at all. How God puts us all together if we are willing to simply be obedient to say, I'm going to play my part and be obedient to my part to what God has in my life. And realizing that it's not just about me. It's just not about me all the time. There are people around the world that just simply do not have access, that are sitting in the midst of those black holes. And all of these flags, this one hanging here, that's Ukraine. All of the pictures downstairs of the missionaries around the world that you give towards, that you pray towards, that God would somehow allow us to meet the needs of those black holes. 3.16 billion people in the world do not have access to the gospel today. That's a big number. We're not tasked to reach them all. We're just tasked to be obedient with what God has in our life today. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we see today that you have challenged us to go around the world and to preach the gospel to every people group. And Lord God, we look at the end of the book and we realize that not everyone is going to accept you. But Lord God, help us give them a chance. So Lord God, I pray right now that you would crystallize, that you would clarify, that you would guide our lives in such a way that we'll know it's from you, that we can just walk in such a life led by your Holy Spirit, so that we can play a part, that we can do our part, so that each person around the world may have that access. And Lord God, give us the courage to say yes. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you established this great church in this community so that it may be led by the Holy Spirit to reach every dark spot in this county. Lord, that people here may have access as well. Lord, our hearts are open. We're listening to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name.